The Truth News Network. When the media spread their web of lies, you need a guide to walk you through the labyrinth. His name is Newman. Dan Newman.
Hello, folks. I can't imagine how many times in my lifetime somebody has called me just plain Newman, like from the show Seinfeld. Well, I'm Dan Newman, and this is Truth News Network. You know, one of the things we have been doing and will continue to do, especially all the way through the 2020 election and after, is expose the lies of those on the left. Now, the government doesn't have to be those two dozen or so Democrats that are running for president. The lies come from the government. The lies come from the candidates. They've all joined in on this one we're talking about today. The stock market. You know, only rich people are in the stock market. They control all the money in the world, right? Well, here's a couple of examples of what they're saying. The top 10% own 80% of the stock market. The richest 10% of Americans now own 84% of all stocks. And the Dow hits 21,000. Trump touts stock market success. You know, I'll just be upfront with you. That isn't true. It might come as a surprise to you that these numbers are not factual. Who would think mainstream media would report to Americans fake news after all? Well, let's look at some dire predictions and actual stock market results, some historical results. You know, it's like I always tell you, it seems like Democrats forget that there's YouTube in the world. Everything they ever say is there for us to go back and find. Well, historical facts are there just as well. Remember those dire predictions from stock market quote-unquote experts during the 2016 campaign, warning us all that the stock market would tank if Donald Trump won the White House? Actual, real experts jumped into the fray with everything they had, foretelling the Trump gloom and doom. Like that entrepreneur from Dallas, Mark Cuban. You know him. He owns the Dallas Mavericks. Here's what he said. I can say with 100% certainty that there is a really good chance we could see a huge, huge correction, Cuban told CNN. He continued, that uncertainty potentially is the president of the United States. That's the last thing Wall Street wants to hear. And then Eric Jones. You may have not heard some of these people, but trust me, they are well-known, well-thought-of, and are considered financial experts, especially when it comes to discussions about the stock market. Eric Jones said, you would see incredible pressure on stock prices if Trump wins and everyone flooding into rare metals like gold and into bonds in the U.S., Germany, and the United Kingdom. Jones is a professor at the Johns Hopkins University School of Advanced International Studies, and he spoke that to Politico. Justin Wolfers and Eric Zeitzwitz. Given the magnitude of the price movements, we estimate that market participants believe that a Trump victory would reduce the value of the S&P 500, the UK, and Asian stock markets by 10 to 15%. University of Michigan professor Wolfers and Dartmouth professor Zeitzwitz wrote that in a report that supposedly scientifically forecast the market's reaction to President Trump's victory. You notice I said President Trump. Andrew Ross Sorkin, the New York Times columnist and CNBC anchor, wrote this. In all likelihood, a Trump victory would lead to a swift, knee-jerk sell-off. Many investors will choose to sell stocks and ask questions later. In fairness to Sorkin's, he hedged his belief in the sell-off by writing this. In truth, it's impossible to predict how the markets would settle into a Trump presidency despite the speculation on all sides. In all likelihood, it will take time for investors to truly make sense and math out how his policies would affect the U.S. economy. Lawrence McDonald, you probably have heard of him. He's of ACG Analytics. He hedged also, predicting a massive sell-off followed by a relief rally. He said, Trump will create a colossal panic, but the relief rally will be outstanding, he told Sorkin. Well, he got the rally right. Anyway, Simon Johnson, a former chief economist of the International Monetary Fund, a professor at MIT Sloan, a senior fellow at the Peterson Institute for International Economics and co-founder of a leading economics blog, The Baseline Scenario. He had perhaps the most panicked reaction in keeping with his status as America's most authoritative economist. He said this, "With the United States presidential election on November 8 and a series of elections and other political decisions fast approaching in Europe, now is a good time to ask whether the global economy is in good enough shape to withstand another major negative shock. The answer, unfortunately, is that growth and employment around the world look fragile. A big adverse surprise, like the election of Donald Trump in the U.S., would likely cause the stock market to crash and plunge the world into recession," Johnson wrote on October 29, 2016, just a few days before the election. Then there's Ian Weiner, Bridgewater Associates, and Tobias Levkovic, macroeconomics advisors, all proven stock market experts who each projected dire economic happenings in the U.S. and world financial markets if Donald Trump was elected president in 2016. Well, how about this, folks? Would you like the rest of the story? Here are the results that all of the experts failed miserably to predict that certainly cost many Americans opportunities to pocket huge stock market profits. The Dow closed on November 7, 2016 at 17,888.28. Let me say that again. 17,888.28. It's the day before the election. And on July 18th, just a couple of days ago, 27,222.97. That's 27,222.97. In the midst of all the pessimistic projections by those experts that we just mentioned and a whole bunch of other ones, let's compare the Dow numbers closed the day before the 2016 election with today's numbers. You just heard them for yourself. They're not quite what the experts told Americans the results of a Trump victory would look like. Trump's election instigated a Dow Jones increase of 9,334.69 points. That's a 52.2% increase in just his first 2.5 years. How does that interpret into real dollars? Well, I'll keep it small. You know, we're not the sophisticated, super wealthy investors on Wall Street, but we can understand $50,000. In that market, if you, on November 7, 2016, had invested $50,000 in the market, it would be worth $76,000 today, a $26,000 or 52.2% profit. With all of this success the U.S. stock market has had, why is it only the rich and super rich in the U.S. that can invest in stock markets? After all, 2020 presidential candidate Elizabeth Warren, also Cory Booker, Joe Biden, and others have been demeaning all those rich white millionaires and billionaires of fundamental in their campaigns. It's just not fair. They have presented to Americans multiple promises to make multiple important parts of Americans' lives free, like free college, free health care, government payoff of all college tuition loans, free, free, free. How can the government pay for all of these programs? The government doesn't have any money, folks. They get it from you, and they get it from me. So their plan? Tax those super rich Americans who get richer and richer simply by having investments in the stock market. Tax them out the wazoo. Guess what? That won't work. The super rich collectively don't make enough money that if all of it was confiscated by the government, that it could possibly pay for the programs. There's not enough money there. There's no there. Besides that, the money to which those billionaires owe their financial success to, the stock market, is not a party place of the super wealthy. What 2020 Democrat candidates are preaching to America about the stock market and the evil rich is not the truth. The wealthy don't fly solo when it comes to stock market investing. There are others who benefit from market investments, if not to the same level as the wealthy stockholders, almost the same. The percentages at the top and the bottom, folks, are the same. Obviously, the wealthy guy who invested $1 million and you only invested $50,000, he definitely made more money than you did. But as a percentage of what he put in compared to what you put in, the percentage of profit is exactly the same. So if not just millionaires, who invest in stocks and who reaps those stock market rewards? Well, you really need to listen very closely to the rest of this today. Factual information, truth. In 2018, 55% of adults in the U.S. invested in the stock market, over half. While that's a slight increase from the last 2 years, it's still a little bit below the levels before the financial crisis, having peaked at 65%, folks, in 2007. It's easy to think that the stock market is the playground of hedge funds and day traders, but in reality, most of the stock market is owned by people like you and me, the average Joes in America. In fact, the largest chunk is doing one thing, helping people retire. In a white paper, Stephen Rosenthal and Lydia Austin of the Tax Policy Center have broken out exactly which kind of investors own the market. They found that a majority of corporate stock is owned by different types of retirement plans, the largest being IRAs and defined benefit plans. Of the $22.8 trillion in stock outstanding, that doesn't include now the United States government ownership of foreign stock and stock owned by pass-through entities such as exchange-traded funds, retirement accounts owned roughly 37%, the most of any type of holder. And what about all those people around the country, the millions of people that are members of labor unions? They pay those dues. Well, all those dues just don't go to pay salaries. They go to pay pensions. If the stock market is so risky, then why does virtually every union pension fund in America invest the bulk of their assets in the quote-unquote risky stock market? Gone are the days when America's major union pensions funds invested most of their money in Las Vegas and Atlantic City. They're doing the smart thing. They're investing workers' pension funds in real assets that will grow in value over time and be there when it's time to pay workers' retirement benefits. According to the Federal Reserve, state and local government employee pension funds alone have nearly $3 trillion in assets, 66% of which is invested in corporate equities. What are corporate equities? Stock. Indeed, 30 of the nation's 50 largest pension funds are public employee pension funds. According to Pensions and Investment Magazine Online, these 30 funds have $1.5 trillion in assets, 60% of which is invested in the stock market. Remarkably, 13% of their assets are invested in foreign stocks. So much for buy American, right? Most of the trade unions have made similar investment decisions. The Western Conference of Teamsters Pension Trust has 40% of its $22 billion in assets invested in domestic stocks. The United Mine Workers Retirement Fund has more than 44% of its $7.5 billion in assets invested in domestic stock and 8% invested in foreign stocks. The Bakery and Confectionery Union Pension Fund has 57% of its $5.2 billion in assets invested in domestic stocks, 7% invested in foreign stocks. Well, what about all those hundreds of thousands of federal employees, right? Well, they can choose where to invest their money through the Federal Thrift Savings Plan, the government workers' version of a 401k. The TSP now has more than $85 billion in assets, 59% of which is invested in the stock market. Although federal employees can also choose to invest in government bonds, they've chosen, no surprise to me, to invest a paltry 5% of their TSP funds in government bonds. Meaning, when given the choice between the stock market and government bonds, federal employees overwhelmingly choose the market. The value of U.S. pension funds at the end of 2015, now that's almost 4.5 years ago, was $21.7 trillion. Just imagine what it is now. The fund's managers prudently manage assets in a method meant to ensure that retirees receive those promised benefits. For many years, this meant that funds were limited to investing primarily in government securities, investment-grade bonds, and a small amount placed in blue-chip stocks. Changing market conditions and the need to maintain a high rate of return have resulted in pension plan rules that allow investments in most asset classes, like, you know, that evil stock market. I've got some stuff right after our summary. It's going to blow your mind. You're not going to believe what I'm going to tell you. It's about one of the presidential candidates on the Democrat side. That and a few other words as we close. And our summary right after this at Truth News Network, truthnewsnet.org.
Because truth matters, you're listening to TNN,
the Truth News Network.
Biggie bag, huh?
It's new from Wendy's. It's everything you ever wanted for just $5.
Everything I ever wanted?
Wendy's bacon double stack, 4 nuggets, fries, a drink, and the spelling bee medal you lost in second grade because you couldn't spell soliloquy.
It really is everything I ever wanted.
Get a bacon double stack with a quarter pound of fresh beef, nuggets, fries, and a drink for just $5. Wendy's Biggie Bag is everything you ever wanted.
Sorry, I'm going to need all that back.
What is Coca-Cola? Is it an excuse to get together? Since 1886, Coca-Cola has been passing on smiles from generation to generation. We've been giving kids scholarships.
Like the early birds and the all-nighters.
And you get to enjoy what matters most. Coca-Cola. Drink up.
There's enough negative news. Too bad it's fake news. Looking on the brighter side, the Truth News Network.
TruthNewsNet.org.
And your ray of sunshine, Dan Newman.
Ah, now I'm a ray of sunshine. Well, let's get right to the summary today. You know, facts matter. Facts really matter, don't they? All of these facts today take us to the point we surely are asking collectively, why are Democrats telling the nation over and over the super rich own the stock market and that average Americans have no part of the investment products those billionaires are using to get rich? The answer is simple. It's the truth. Democrats, for all the freebies they have previously, are now, and will in the future, promise to those who vote Democrat, require massive amounts of new money, not from just Democrat voters, but from all Americans to fund all their promises. How does that funding occur? You know. Tax revenue to the federal government. How does the federal government get all that revenue? Confiscation from Americans and American companies by taxes. So they target the most wealthy, painting wealthy Americans as evil Americans who are greedy, selfish, and oblivious to the lives and the needs of average Americans. The truth? Democrats in Congress are oblivious to the needs of average Americans. Think about it. All the stuff they tell us points us away from opportunities where we could do much better without government intervention. Democrats during every election cycle concentrate on two things, the demonization of conservatism and conservatives. The best way to find voters who will give them power so as to maintain control of as much of government as possible is to perpetuate stories like they are we're talking about today. Democrats all know how important the stock market is to Americans in every financial classification. They know that most Americans have stock market investments through their employees on which they rely for retirement. They spin the lie to denigrate wealthy Americans so as to justify increasing taxes. How good and fair is the stock market? How evil are Democrats for screaming that Americans who make money through stock market investments are evil? I close with this, a tidbit of factual information that illustrates Democrat Party lies and hypocrisy. Listen to this and decide for yourself. U.S. Senator Elizabeth Warren, Democrat of Massachusetts, running for president, invested as much as, it could be more, but at least $100,000 in the stock market. Now, when did she do that? The day after Donald Trump won the 2016 presidential election. The day after. Warren, who is a progressive standard bearer, who recently held a town hall on income inequality in America, purchased between $50,000 and $100,000 worth of shares in the Vanguard 500 Index Admiral Fund on November 9th of 2016. Now, that's according to her own financial disclosures filed with the U.S. Senate clerk. At the time of Warren's investment, VFLAX, which is that fund, those shares were trading about $200 a share. At publication time of this story today, those shares were trading for more than $250 a share. Warren's capital gain on the investment could have been as much as $25,000. It could be more. During the campaign, Warren sharply criticized Trump's economic plans as unfair to the poor and middle class and overly favorable to the wealthy. Nothing you can say about that except this: hypocrisy in the worst way. That's a wrap for today's story on the evil stock market in America and those evil wealthy Americans who dominate, control, and they make all that money off the backs of lesser privileged Americans. It ain't true, folks. Thanks for being here today. Thanks for sharing the truth with us. Spread this one around. Feel free to download the story, download the podcast, and share it freely. No cost ever. And thank you for being here, and we'll thank you because I know you'll be back tomorrow at truthnewsnet.org. Until we get together, have a great day. So long, everybody.
So busy you don't have time for today's news on TV or newspaper? Never fear. TNN has your answer. Download TNN Podcast to your phone. Catch up with the latest news during your busy day. The Truth News Network. TNN. TruthNewsNet.org.